Our Bible reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians 12:11-21. I have been a fool. You forced me to eat, for I ought to have been commended by you. For I was not all inferior to these super apostles, even though I am nothing. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with utmost patience, with signs and wonders and mighty works. For in what were you less favored than the rest of the churches, except that I myself did not burden you? Forgive me this wrong. Here for the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden, for I seek not that is yours but you. For children are not obligated to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. I will mostly gladly spend and be spent for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? But granting that I myself did not burden you, I was crafty, you say, and got the better of you by deceit. Did I take advantage of you through any of those who am I sent to you? I urged Titus to go and sent the brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not act in the same spirit? Did we not take the same steps? Have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? It is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ, and all for you upbuilding, and all for your upbuilding, beloved. For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish. That perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. I fear that when I come again, my God may humble me before you, and I may have to mourn over many of those who sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual immorality, and sensuality and they have practiced.
Thank you, Gurley. I'm not going to cover everything in that passage this morning. You'll be glad to know that. This morning, I'm going to start with a thought experiment. I'm not actually going to ask you to do this, so listen carefully. I want you to imagine. I want you to, first of all, look at the person next to you, someone, and think, right, if I asked you to say to that person three good things about them, tell them how good they are in three different ways. Is anyone feeling a little uncomfortable that they have to do that at the moment? Now, I can make it worse. I want you to imagine turning to that person and telling them the two best things about yourself. Did anyone get more uncomfortable the second time? You're in good company. See, the Bible says, when you are invited to a wedding banquet, do not sit in the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited. The Bible says, if you put yourself above others, you will be put down, but if you humble yourself, you will be honored. We don't like blowing our own trumpet. To turn and tell someone else how good you are, that's just like, ugh, cringe. It's bad enough to try and tell someone else how good they are. We're not strong at that either. We're Australians, most of us here. I don't know whether you weren't born in Australia, neither were you, but you've been here long enough. Was it hard to think about telling someone else how good you are? Yeah. Okay. So the Bible talks about that and goes, we don't do that. We're not meant to get up and say how good we are. So this passage starts off with Paul saying, I've become a fool. Yeah, I didn't like doing this. But you drive me to it. In fact, you should have commended me since I am in no way inferior to those super apostles. A little bit of sarcasm again. Even though I'm nothing. So Paul's defending himself and telling them how good he is. And you're like, hang on. What's going on here? We know that saying how good you yourself is isn't the right, usually a good plan, but Paul's doing it. The key line is, in fact, you should have commended me. When they didn't do what they were supposed to, something had to fill the gap. So the first thought is, stand up. There's a thought in this reminder in this one. Stand up for your mates, for your brothers and sisters in Christ, your leaders, but in truth. If they're getting the right encouragement and got their back covered by those who should be covering their back, they don't need to blow their own trumpet things. That's something God wants us to do. He said, you should have. The Corinthians knew him. He was the founding pastor of the church, so to speak. They should have stood up for him. But when all this other stuff's going on, they wandered off. So Paul had to write a letter and point out some truth. Encourage. Keep encouraging each other. That's not particularly forefront in this passage, but I think it's pretty godly. Giving appropriate encouragement wherever we can. Defend. Defend yourself in truth and don't accept slander. There are times when you've got to stand up and say, no, I won't accept that. As Paul did. So, where do you do each of those things? You know, this is in the Bible. Paul wrote it. Paul's an apostle of Christ that is empowered by the Holy Spirit to write the things at the right time. So he knew it was right for him to defend himself at that time. We know that now. But we need God's guidance as to when to do the differing things. Hearing the voice of God. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Well, this is what we're always talking about. But our prayer is that this morning, in this message, God's voice of what he said in his word, empowered by the Holy Spirit, will say something to each of us this morning that helps us continue our walk with God in the particular situation we are at. Because the voice of God, he said a lot. How many of you read the whole Bible in the last week? Okay. He doesn't expect us to read the whole Bible every week. He doesn't expect us to understand it all and get it all right at the time. There's different bits at different times. He feeds it to us a bit at a time. And he doesn't always feed it to us the same way. You know what? I'm not expecting that everybody will work out here with the exact same point burning on them to what God said to them. God has different strengths for different people in different times of their lives. Let's remember that. Let's take a moment to pray. Lord God, it is my desire this morning that what I say reflects what you once said, that in and through the things I'm saying will help people here understand something else, an aspect of what you're saying in your word that helps them. I'm not good enough to pull that up, but you, Holy Spirit, are. It is a desire, Lord, that for each person here, there be something in this message where their spirit and your spirit resonate and you go, ah, that bit's for me. That helps me in that particular thing I was thinking. That helps me live what I need to live this week to reflect you. Lord, that is our prayer. Help us to get something out of this that helps us reflect you. In Jesus' name, amen. In what way were you inferior to other churches except that I was not a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. It's a weird way to put it. Basically, he said, guys, when I came to you, I didn't expect you to feed me. I didn't expect you to give me any money. I paid for myself. Here for the third time, I'm coming back for the third time, and I'm still not expecting you to pay anything. What's going on here? What's Paul doing? He said, look, I sent Timothy and Titus to you, and they did the same thing. They didn't expect you to pay for anything. I urged them, Titus, to visit you, and he sent our brothers with him. Did Titus exploit you in any way? This is different. Paul's saying to these guys, when I came to you, I didn't charge you anything. I didn't accept anything. What's going on? Because you see, elsewhere in the Bible it says, for it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle the ox while treading the grain. Is it about oxen that God is concerned? That's in 1 Corinthians. So Paul said to them, hang on, you're supposed to pay the pastor. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox when it treads out the grain. The laborer is deserved of his wages in 1 Timothy. In Corinthians he says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. In fact, if we go when Jesus said, he sent the disciples out and said, do not take a purse or a bag or sandals and do not greet anyone on the road. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. What? Did he expect them to not eat the entire time they're away? No. He expected that somebody would feed them. Somebody would give to them. And in this situation, Paul's told them that a couple of times. You're supposed to look after the worker, but then he doesn't take anything. What's going on here? Anyone remember what the characteristics of Corinth were? I'm not expecting this row here to remember because you weren't here in my other sermons. So we'll let you off the hook just now. Anyone else? What are the two things that stood out about the city of Corinth? Wealthy? Multicultural? Yeah? Well, there's three things. So they were pretty multicultural. Third thing is they were a moral sewer. But we're talking about the wealthy thing here. Okay, why were they wealthy? Well, does this work? No. Sometimes, it's not going to work. I need a pointer, but not use the guitar. But if you got Athens here, to get around and trade, they had to go this long route around the big thing there. Or they could go to Corinth, put it on a wagon, and take it over short. And they did a lot of that, but that meant a lot of trade went through Corinth. And so they got rich off it. So this bunch of rich people who had the ability to look after Paul, Paul goes along and says, I'm not taking anything from you. He was speaking to them in a different way. Anyone heard this statement? The rich should pay their fair share. Oh, yeah. What does that mean? How much should Elon Musk have to pay? Do you get to decide? No. We can always look at someone else and go, they're richer than me, they should have to pay. Giving is not just about money. It speaks in other ways. I look at it this way. There are times I've been known to buy a coffee for someone who earns way more than me. What, because they couldn't afford to buy me coffee? No. Because I wanted to say to them, you don't always have to buy the coffee. You don't have to be the generous one all the time. There are times someone who earns less than me has bought me a coffee and I haven't said, no, you can't do that. Because that person has wanted to give and I've accepted that with gratitude. What Paul was doing here was challenging them about money in a different way. By not taking their money, he was saying to them, hang on, I'm not interested in your money, I'm interested in you. It was a challenge to them in a different way. Does he want them to be generous? Of course he does. In 1 Corinthians he wrote, each one of you should give. Did he accept money from other churches? Yeah. How else did he make his money? Yes, he did some tent making, but he didn't always. Do we want good? Of course we do. Does the Bible teach good? Of course it does. But which bit where is the hard thing. See, there's lots of places in the Bible where it says two almost, well, they are contradictory things. So where do you do it? Paul said, well, the Bible says, don't lift yourself up, and Paul was doing that. Paul said you should give to look after those that are serving you, and then he doesn't take any. In fact, there's a wonderful passage that talks about this. There is a time for everything, for every season of activity under heaven. There is a time to be born and a time to die. A plant, time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear down and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Now, that's in the Bible, so I'm going to tell you. Absolutely, utterly believe it's true. Now, you always find it easy to know which one when, don't you? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. There's a time for rejoicing and time for weeping. Then there's this fun one. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. When do we apply that and when don't we? Is it always a smack? No, not always. But there's a component of discipline of going, there's a consequence for this that you're not going to like. Is God a God of grace? Absolutely. Does he work in forgiveness? Absolutely. Anyone here glad he didn't apply the rod of correction to us as we deserved straight away? But he also says there is a time to. So the question is when? The Bible is all true. Consider the context. So when you are coming to a decision of which bit of the Bible to apply in a particular situation, read where it says it. Take a look and go, well, what's going on here? Which bit do we apply here? There's different approaches to different situations. Paul was calling to be generous. In one of his letters, he said, I want you to be generous. But when he was with them, he was showing generosity by not accepting their money. Led and governed by love. Well, that's nothing uncontroversial, that God is God of love. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love others as yourself. It's meant to be about love. All right. So when you're looking at the situation that you're facing, the question is, what's the most loving thing to do with God's wisdom involved here? What actually helps that person the most? If you're walking down the street and somebody asks you for some cash because they really need some cash, and you're looking at them and going, chances are they're going to be putting that cash into the Royal or the Australian, one of the pubs, is the most loving thing to give them some cash? No, it's not. We often face situations where there's a number of scriptures in the Bible that apply, and we go, well, which one where? Grounded in what the Bible says. Recognize that the Bible says a variety of things for different situations. Ask yourself, what's the most loving thing to do here? And follow wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. Pray and act in the Spirit. So when you got one of those situations, like the time for this or that, and you're facing, what do I do here? What's the most loving thing? Then start be praying, God, what's your guidance on the most loving thing to do here? What does the Bible say? And if it says a couple of different things, which one in this situation, God? And then the actual thing is, what am I meant to be doing? Because this is a journey of going, us seeking before God what we do, not us seeking to what you should do. I don't get to tell you all what you should be doing all of the time. There are times when as a church we might say, no, we're not doing that. You want to do it? Go to a different church. But we want to, when it comes to seeking wisdom and following the Bible's advice, it's what we do, not enforcing it on others. I find that walking the journey of life and trying to do it in a godly way is not simple. And then there is so many voices coming from all over the place. And if you even chop out all the ones that are definitely ungodly and go, the ones that claim to be Christian, you still get a variety of voices. And many of them are looking at the scripture and taking bits. How do we do it? One of the big things sitting on us at the moment is there is a war over in Iran. And if you've got Facebook or anything pops up, you've got different ones saying which side of the way. Well, the first thing I want to say, a couple of things, because it's a reality. Is it sad and tragic? Yes. Would be great if there was no war in Iran in the Middle East. But was it the best of some hard options? I don't know. I don't know that it is. I'm not certain that it isn't either. Thank God I'm not the person that gets to make those decisions. I'm not the one that is seeing the intelligence briefings. I'm not the one that has to decide. If they're 3 weeks away from having a nuclear bomb, what do we do? I do happen to think that if Iran actually was 3 weeks from having a nuclear bomb, there's a good chance Mossad would know. What to do about it? I'm not the one that is making that decision. Are the ones making that decision trying to protect those that they've been given? Is Netanyahu genuinely trying to look after the Israeli citizens and others? I believe he is. Does Trump think that he's doing his best to look after the American citizens? I believe he does. Does that make him right? No. I don't know. Will God use this for good? Absolutely. That I do know. So the question I ask myself about this stuff that's way over there that keeps popping up in the news and all those sort of things, am I praying about it as much as I'm talking and reading about it? Because I don't trust Trump to fix it. I sure as heck don't trust Netanyahu, and I trust them a little bit more than I trust the Ayatollah, whoever replaced him. Certainly don't trust the UN to fix it. Oh, let's go to Putin or the Xing, the Chinese guy. Do we trust them to fix it? Heck no. Is it affecting us? Yeah, go and look at the fuel prices. It's really hard to dodge the information coming in all the time. But am I praying about it? Am I praying for those that have to make the decisions that maybe, just maybe, they might be listening to God too? I do know that some of the people in the American government have openly proclaimed being Christian. And I have friends that go, oh, how could they be Christian and do that? What did David do? Some pretty interesting things. My prayer is for those that are in those situations that God guide them. Which comes back to, Am I seeking a godly way in the situations, in my situations, more than the things outside my area? Am I spending more time going, well, what am I meant to be doing in Mergen, rather than sitting there reading about Iran, which I can't affect? Am I getting that balance right? I don't claim to get it right all the time, but I am very, very glad for God's grace. I read a book recently, or been reading a book, where he talks about failing forward. When you fall over, and you go, oh, sorry, God, and get up, hopefully you fall forward, not keep going backwards. So as we looked at this passage this morning, as Paul did things that were seemed contrary to what a lot of the Bible says, but were also godly, my question for each of us is, when you're making a decision, are you spending time on the things that are important to you, the places God's given you? Am I seeking godly ways in my situation rather than screaming at elbow or getting upset at Trump or whatever? Do we pray for that and hand it to God and keep reminding ourselves and ask God, what do I do today? Because you see, Jesus has one solution to solve this broken world. It's to come and seek him for forgiveness and get the heart right. He has one solution. Get on your knees before Jesus, say, I'm sorry, God. Do it your way. But I tell you what, the path to Jesus is different for each of us. There are six people here I've never met before. Welcome. Thank you for coming. I have no reason why. But if I could take the time to sit down with you and hear each of your stories as to what you know about Jesus and what you understand about him, I'm betting they're all different to each other. Does that sound right? And they're different to the other people here, but they get you to Jesus. There are different stories to there, and the Bible allows for that. The question is, are we genuinely seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit to use the truth of the Bible in the right way to live well and reveal God to those around us? Are we focusing on the bits we've been given and trusting God to reach into those ones who have got different situations? I did read a book a few months ago where some Christian guy in America had this dream, and he said, I want you to tell Netanyahu this. And the guy looked and said, how the heck do I ever get to tell Netanyahu anything? And later that week, a whole circumstances fell together and he ended up in the same room as Netanyahu. So he told him what God told him to say. He was being obedient to what God said. And then he said, you do with it what you want, Netanyahu. A few years later, he has another dream and says, go tell Netanyahu this. And he goes, what? Look, I met him once, but I don't exactly have his phone number. Circumstances happened. And he ended up in the same room as Netanyahu again. I don't know how each of you get, whether you get any opportunity to touch bigger events. That's up to God. He may use you. But what he's asking you to do is the decisions in your sin and trust God to work in the others. And can I encourage us, when we see others who claim to be Christians, they're a little bit different to us and got a different approach, don't hate them. Pray for them. if they're on the opposite side of the politics to what you vote, but they claim to follow Jesus, pray hard for them. If they're in your political party, the ones you would vote for, and they claim Christian, pray for them too. Because my goodness, being in politics at the moment, what a nightmare. Trust God to utilize them in the area they are. But really, let's keep going back to what is the area that God is asking us to. And then go, well, which bit of God's word am I meant to apply in this way today? Is it a time to heal or a time to kill? Is it a time to gather stones or is it a time to scatter? Is it a time to be generous and give or is it a time to wait? Is it a time to pour out your energy and help someone or is it a time to sit back and rest because you need that? That will be different for each person. Paul did different things in different places. May God give us the wisdom we need to do those things. Because he said, for we are God's handiwork. God's reached into our lives and done something. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Those good works are not the same in every situation. Sometimes that good works is giving someone something. Sometimes that good works is withholding it. Each situation you face, pray that God guide you to the good work there. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that you don't have a one-size-fits-all solution. Thank you that you didn't just write a set of rules and say, follow these slavishly. You said, follow me. You gave us guidelines, but more than that, you gave us your spirit to guide us. Lord, I pray for the guidance of your spirit for myself as I do what I'm meant to do in this area. But I pray for each of the people sitting here today that have heard this message, that you will guide each one in what they're meant to do in their sphere of influence. And Lord God, we thank you for your grace and forgiveness that when we get it wrong, you say that's not the end. You still utilize us. Lord, thank you for your word which does give us good guidance. Lead us to the right bit at the right time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.